This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you. You know what that means, the 3 o'clock hour. We spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks. That's right. The New York Jets have moved on from Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully, oh, please God, hopefully, he'll be with the New York Giants this year. But they move on from Aaron Rodgers under the name of winning now and under building a culture and what's best for the franchise. So every day we go through the options that they have now that they've moved on from Aaron Rodgers, and we decide whether or not they're better off in their culture building and their winning right now process. So today, as every day, 3 a.m. hits, and we spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks.
Shuffles forward now, rears back, rifles it to the end zone, and it's a touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Shadur buying time, he rifles it back of the end zone. Shadur running to the end zone, breaks a tackle, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Shadur dropped, he curved around the containment on the right side, took it right into the end zone, caught by Owen Goss, and a 6-yard run by the quarterback Shadur Sanders.
Snap taken by Shadur, looks to the right, throws the lob into the back of the end zone. Will Shepard goes up high, makes the grab, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Boy, Shadur Sanders feathered that one in there. Shadur Sanders talking to his offensive line, making sure protections are set. Down to two, down to one, got it off in time. Drops the throw, scans, cocks his arm, steps back again, gives ground. Now he runs up in the pocket, whips it back to the end zone, wide open. Caught, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Buying time with his feet was Shadur Sanders.
Snap to Ward, under pressure, he rolls out left. He escapes the pocket. He throws into the end zone. Back in the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Miami.
Ward stands tall in the pocket. Scanning. There's to his left. Still looking. Let it fly toward the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown. What a play. What a throw. A gem of a play. Takes the snap. They rush four. He throws. He's got a man out there. It's caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5. They call me George. Touchdown. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami! 49 yards from Cam Ward to Jacoby George along the right sideline with immaculate precision.
Hey, we might have done it. We might have found an option that I could at least envision being better than Aaron Rodgers. That's exactly what the New York Jets should do. We've gone over all these options of terrible quarterbacks in, you know, Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins and all these guys who can't stay healthy, don't win football games, throw interceptions. Although I shouldn't say that about Tyrod Taylor, because he has won almost half of every game he's played in the NFL. But this is the one option. Now, I know it goes against the win now process of the coach, who's making every decision based on winning now. But at 7, and the idea, we've already seen mock drafts where the quarterback falls to 7, whether it be Sanders or Ward, these two specific quarterbacks. And this is the two of them, and this is moving up to get them. This isn't some of the other quarterbacks. We put them in a different category. This isn't drafting Jackson Dart later in the game. This isn't finding Milrow in the second round. This is specifically targeting one of the two top quarterbacks in this NFL draft, the two quarterbacks who are deemed to be at least first-round picks, if not at the top of the draft, as most people will tell you. But this is the move to start anew with this franchise, which for me, if you're going to bring in a rookie head coach, if you're going to bring in a rookie GM, why try and catch lightning in a bottle with some washed-up quarterback? Because make no mistake, that's all that's out there. Go out there, make a bold move, go trade up for your future quarterback, and give this franchise a breath of fresh air. And let's be totally honest, with the players who have now voted the owner an F, and it's one of the lowest-graded franchise in the league, they don't know this coach, they've already come out with their displeasure about moving from Aaron Rodgers. If you're telling them to their face it's about winning now, how in the world can you bring in failed quarterbacks? How do you bring in Kirk Cousins, who got benched for a rookie, not because it was just time to see the rookie, but because they had hopes of making the playoffs and had to get rid of his bum ass if they wanted to do that? Like, how do you bring in these failed quarterbacks? How do you bring in a Justin Fields, who was 4-2 and one of the great head coaches in the league, said, nah, I don't care that we're 4-2. I want to go to Russell Wilson. Oh, Russell Wilson's tragically bad the last 3 weeks of the year heading into the playoffs. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to the lesser quarterback. Like, how do you sell these players who are tired of this on lesser options? You sell them on the hope of the future. You sell them on the prospect that you love these quarterbacks, you believe in these quarterbacks, and you go get a Cam Ward, who's the best quarterback in this draft. You go get a Shedeur Sanders, who can be a star in this league and has proven that he can handle the market. He's already rich and famous. He's dealt with a father who's been in the spotlight his entire life. This is the option of all of the options that make the most sense to me for the New York Jets. So finally, we get to the verdict. What do we think? Is this an option the New York Jets should take? Is this a successful spin of the wheel? What should they do? Take a chance on me. Take a chance on him. And I left Marco in here. He had no idea why. We had to hear the song. After that miserable football season where we barely spent any time together, I feel like I haven't heard it. Blast it. Take a chance on me. Take a chance on Cam Ward. Take a chance on Shedeur Sanders. Do it. You want to take a chance on Kirk Cousins? For what? I love it. That's all I ask of you. So, yeah, that was Fliegelman's idea to have you sitting here just so you could hear your favorite song.
I hate you both.
It's not like you're busy or anything doing updates.
That's not true, by the way. I just reminded him that it was his idea that he forgot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I hate you both. And Ryan, because you were involved in this, I don't like you either.
That's fine.
It was good to hear the song, though, wasn't it?
No.
No?
No.
I feel like it's been so long.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
Like, we were just on different schedules, you know. Fleegs leaves me the entire second half of the football season.
Pretty much, yes.
You're, you know, dealing with, you know, the emergency room that has become your living room.
The plague, yes.
Yeah, the plague. I had a bunch of different things, you know, and we just... Mm-hmm. We lost touch with that song, and I felt like it was important for all of us to have that bonding moment.
It wasn't, and I hate you all.
Okay.
Forever.
Forever?
Yep.
As much as the thought of Kirk Cousins quarterbacking the Jets, more or less?
I don't know if I hate it that much.
So I had you in here. Wait, what do you think? Jets trade up disaster, or would you be, if it's announced the Jets trade up to number 2 with the Cleveland Browns, how do you feel about it?
Depends on how much they give up, but no, I think that's a good option for them. Look, none of these options are good. Yes, I think that's you keep hitting on.
That's the whole point.
There's nothing that's there. You look and you go, this is the one. So if the Jets believe, and I'm a big stickler, if you believe that this is the guy that can take you forward for the next
10 years,
right.
then you move heaven and earth, you go get him. Now, if you don't believe that and you go, I think he might be able to. No, right. now you made a mistake.
Right.
You made a mistake before you even decided to do anything. So if you if you have that conviction and one of these guys, you feel like you can go get him and you feel like he can be finally the quarterback for the franchise that they've been looking for
right.
since Joe Namath, then absolutely, you go and do it. 100%.
I agree. I agree. And that's
I don't see them doing this.
No, I mean neither. And I'm having fun with it a little bit about, you know, take the chance. I agree with you, though. If they don't believe in these quarterbacks, it's not worth it. But if they do, if they have an inkling that this guy can be that, like, it's just, it's, you find that quarterback, it changes your franchise. And right now, they don't have options. And especially for, like, if they're trying to sell this team on win now and you're trying to build around this young core, you bring in a veteran quarterback who can't win and they go through the same motions with no future prospect. Like, it's just, it's the Jets all over again, man.
And I think you hit the right name, too. I feel like if for the Jets, now remember, this is Woody Johnson. Mm-hmm. Just got the F. We all know the issues. Loves his big name quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Kirk Cousins moves the needle anymore.
No.
It did years ago when they wanted to. But Shedeur Sanders does.
Absolutely.
Not Cam Ward.
Right.
But Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I think Cam Ward maybe because I think
that's
most
football
people
wise.
Tell you. Yeah, I know.
That's not what Woody Johnson's looking for. He's looking for the name on the back page, and I think Sanders
no doubt.
Would be the guy that 100%. He would love to put in place.
I don't disagree with you that he's the bigger name, the bigger star, more of that than even Cam Ward, but I would say the only reason why I would say Cam Ward might do it is because he is the number one quarterback in the NFL draft, like, and that's what most people think. I think that alone like has some star name to it. Not as much as Shedeur Sanders, I agree. But it's not like Cam Ward doesn't have any of that. You're talking about the perceived best quarterback in the NFL draft. If they trade up to pick him at one, I mean, that's a sexy thing.
No, I get it. I don't think they're going to go all the way up to one.
Right.
And I do feel like when Woody Johnson push comes to shove, he'll hear, well, they're close, then give me Sanders. Oh,
right.
Oh! There's a conversation that yeah. either one of them, then go get me
and,
Sanders.
And part if Sanders falls to seven, as Mel Kiper suggests, you have to take him.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
That's where I would take the chance. If he falls to seven, I'm not passing on him.
Yeah, I don't.
Even if I don't love him, I'm not passing on him.
I personally don't love Shedeur Sanders as the prospect for the quarterback. I don't. Now, obviously, I could be wrong, but I don't feel like every year we talk about, well, this guy could slide here, this guy could. There's two quarterbacks that we're talking about in the first round. If anything, I think we're going to wind up with three or four in the first round more than I'm going to see a guy slide.
100%.
We don't see guys slide
100%.
That go from one all of a sudden and they wind up getting picked 10th.
100%.
There's something wrong unless there's an injury because someone will pull the trigger. Someone will move up. Someone will say, I can't walk past it. And I think a lot of it's also just chatter. There's a lot of talk between now and the draft.
Yeah.
And, well, he's the number one pick. Or, no, he's going to slide all the way down to 12.
No.
And look at my new latest mock draft.
Yeah.
I don't buy that Sanders is there at 7. If the Jets want him, they're going to have to go up and get him.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying if it were to happen. But you're right. Like, remember, like, no better example than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield wasn't the first pick in the draft until, like, 12 hours before the draft. Like it was Sam Darnold. It was not Baker Mayfield. And then suddenly it was just announced Cleveland loves Baker Mayfield. Like there is speculation, nonsense. Who knows? You're right. Shedeur Sanders might be the number one pick, but that goes for other things too. Like people, Giant fans in particular. Oh, just take Jackson Dart in the second round. You're not getting Jackson Dart in the second round. You're right. These guys are all gonna get. They're all gonna get drafted.
If you want, and that's something for the Giants. If you're looking at a Giant fan, and you say Jackson Dart, and I can see that thought process. Get the best player. If you don't get Matthew Stafford, whatever, and you're looking at Jackson Dart, then guess what? You're gonna have to trade back into the first
100%.
Round, and you're gonna have to get him late in the first round. A la think like a Lamar Jackson. There's two reasons. One, because someone else will pluck him, and two, you also want that fifth year option if you got a quarterback that you don't want to take him in the second round.
Right.
You'd rather take him at pick number 28 as opposed to
pick
34.
30. Yeah, no, I agree.
So these are all things that come into play. And if you gotta it's not just the game of deciding whether or not they're value. It's also just really deciding you're handing your keys of your franchise and your job to a player. You better be damn well sure that you feel good about that. And that's something that you're gonna have to move up to do that.
No, I don't disagree. So I mean, but moving up, I mean, that is a significant thing. Do you think that they should take the chance?
Oh, if you change your mind, take a chance on the first in line. Take a chance on the outside.
He approves. Marco approves.
Take a chance on me.
Take the chance.
If you need me, let me.
All right, that's enough. I've tortured him enough. Thank you very much. That is a banger right here. Wait, hold on. One more time.
Take a chance. If you're all alone, with a pretty.
I love how you say that. That's breaking it
when
down.
When it kicks in.
What kick into
that's
what?
That's when the beat kicks in.
There's one beat.
No, that extra drum kicks in. Ugh. Up until that point, it's just kind of like bump, 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 bump. Yeah. Come on, you know where it kicks in.
Real banger.
Stop it. It is banger. All right, thank you very much, Marco. I appreciate you hanging out and dealing with that. I don't know how you hate me. I played a song for you. It's a bit strong. Yeah, I'm sure there is. All right. Oh, we got one more. That's right. I said yesterday we're going to judge. Also, we had Marco in there, so we had a little bit of fun, and we got sidetracked. But every day we are going to take the comments of Aaron Glenn in his press conference at the Combine about what a quarterback, what a New York Jet Aaron Glenn quarterback looks like. And we're going to judge those comments on the candidate that we spun the wheel. So Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, do they measure up to his expectations of what a quarterback for the New York Jets should be?
Listen, I look for guys that love football. I look for guys that are highly competitive. And I look for guys that endear themselves to their teammates. We're looking for smart, tough, aggressive, and resilient players.
Well, I can't tell you I know for sure that they do measure up to those standards, and we would find out if they were to be here. But I can tell you this, about 75% of the wheel quarterbacks I know don't represent those factors, and at least there is a chance that these two quarterbacks will. So, look, it's not about winning now with this pick. I get it. I do think you have to love them. There are circumstances to it. We're just having fun with the wheel a little bit. But that is about as good an option for me, looking at the Jets and their future and where they sit currently. I don't want to take a lesser quarterback, attempt to win, which I don't think I can with a lot of them. Like, once I moved on from Aaron Rodgers, like, we've gone over two names, Stafford and one of these two picks. Those are by far, and we'll find out if they're the only, but so far, by far, the best options for the New York Jets, because Stafford does provide you those qualities, and he does provide you winning football and a very good chance. In fact, I would say a excellent chance to end your playoff drought. Other than that, why start the rebuild in a year or two? You've got a bunch of young players here you're making decisions on. You got a bunch of young, talented players you're going to have to pay. I'd rather have the young quarterback on the rookie contract, especially drafted, as Marco said, in the first round, where I'm not going to have to pay him until that, you know, sixth year, theoretically. I know some of these guys want their contract earlier, and they typically get it. But, like, I don't have to pay this guy for a bunch of years. I'll be able to put money around. I'll be able to pay some of these young, good quality players that I believe in right now, as opposed to in a year from now, and I don't know about the quarterback. So for me, Matthew Stafford makes a lot of sense for the New York Jets, and so does trading up and taking a chance on one of these top two quarterback prospects. 888-808-1019. So a little Jet football there. We've opened up with the option of the two reports that came out yesterday for the New York Giants. One, they have met with Matthew Stafford and his people. And two, Aaron Rodgers has reached out to the New York Giants. And for me, if those two reports indicate two possibilities for the New York Giants, I much prefer drafting the young quarterback at three and bringing in Aaron Rodgers to be that veteran quarterback for 1 year, looking to prove that he is still Aaron Rodgers, as opposed to Matthew Stafford, the picks it costs to get him, the $50 million a year, and bringing him in with one motivation, to make money, to help my wife's podcast, to maybe help my post-NFL career. Because you can't tell me coming to the Giants is about winning for him. I'll take a pissed-off, hungry Aaron Rodgers for less money with no picks while I develop my future quarterback, as opposed to trading multiple picks and paying $50 million for a guy looking to just make.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Money.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I gotta be careful. I just stretched, and I'm dealing with a new injury. I don't think I broke a rib, but my side is still sore from my triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship that I had today around 6:30 p.m. or so. And my son's inability to understand how far and when to do things. And when people aren't paying attention, you shouldn't jump on them. So I'm on the couch and I'm like laying down sort of with like my side right on the, like the kind of in between, like I have a large couch and there's like sectional, like each piece like connects to the other piece. So like I'm right in between where the two couches meet, I guess, whatever you want to call it, two parts of the couch meet. And I'm messing with my younger son. And I'm like leaning over. He's like trying to get away from me and I'm holding on to his foot and we're wrestling. And my other bigger son, my older son, Tommy, gets on the arm of the couch and just flat out jumps on me with all of his weight. And I am like completely arm stretched, not expecting it, with my ribs on the wooden kind of part in between the two couches. And just with all his weight, just jumped on me. And I thought I broke a rib. I was like, you can't jump on me when I'm not expecting it. And so now like, and I've always been concerned about my oblique, if I have one in there, after the hurting it during the softball game that Craig Carton put together last summer, last June. So now we're going on, coming up on 2 years ago. For the Wounded Police Officer Fund. So like, I mean, ever since then, I've been very concerned with my my oblique and my sides. And again, I'm assuming they're in there. But like, leaning over completely, fully extended, holding on to my little guy's foot as he's trying to get away from me as I'm going to win the title because I don't lose. And the other guy just jumped right on me, like with all of his weight. Oh, my God. And he's, you know, he's a bigger, he's not really, you know, he's not my kind of big, but he's already 8 years old. He's on the taller, bigger side. He's an absolute, he's like Charles Barkley when it comes to rebounding. Oh, so I'm dealing with that. 888-808-1019. We got baseball practice tonight, busy schedule. And tonight, I don't know when I'll see you. Sometime between 11:30 and midnight tonight, I believe. So, quick turnaround. 888-808-1019 for a Friday morning, 5-plus hours? Midnight ride. But let's get back to the calls here. Let's go to Jeff in Louisiana. What's up, Jeff?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I had one point and one question. I agree with you about Aaron Rodgers. It may be a little, I don't know, kind of a funny thing to say, but I've seen him a few times on television this year, and I really like that kind of like calm, savvy demeanor. It almost, the eye quality, you know, just like, it's just total calm and, apparent, ostensible perceptiveness, like I know what's going on
yeah.
defense and I can deal with it. Now, I mean, you know, how he is physically, that's another story, but I mean, he really looks like a guru to me.
Well, he's very smart. He understands defense as well as any quarterback in the NFL, there's no doubt. He's excellent at the line of scrimmage, cadence, all of it. Audibling, understanding what coverage is coming, like he is as good as it gets. So that's why I like him as a mentor for the younger quarterback. It worked with Love in Green Bay. I feel like it could work with the Giants. But as calm as he was last year, did not go great for him. As much as 28-11 and 3,900 yards isn't the worst, and certainly one of the best seasons that a Jets quarterback has ever had, it's still not up to his standards. And you know, if he's going to go wherever he goes, I think they're going to expect more than what he gave the Jets last year.
I would love to see, you know, if he could cause Jalen Hyatt to come alive. You know, if he could anticipate.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's possible. But yeah, that would be very nice, because you want to talk about another failed pick by Joe Shane. And thank you for the call. That Jalen Hyatt has been an absolute bust. I mean, there are games where they lost neighbors for multiple games during the middle of the season. And Hyatt was still nowhere to be found. I mean, he has had a miserable start to his career. A guy who was very productive in college, but the word was, you know, didn't run a lot of routes, you know, couldn't do a lot of the route tree. Was just the guy who would kind of take the top off the defense and get behind some defensive backs. And we saw that briefly a couple of years ago with Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position. We saw maybe a handful of plays where that happened, but ultimately, I mean, I think he's got 100-yard game in his career with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback, namely based off of two or three plays in that game. I don't have any faith or expectation of him doing anything this year for the New York Giants. So that would be one hell of a magic trick if Aaron Rodgers or any quarterback could come here and get Jalen Hyatt to be a significant part of the offense, because he has been absolutely nowhere. Absolutely no. I mean, he doesn't get on the field, so I think part of it is the coach. I don't know how he's practicing. I don't know how it's going. The coach doesn't have faith in him. Matt and Selden. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. It's funny what get you to call. You were talking about wrestling with your kids.
Yes.
So my son, for about 12 years, we basically had just had a 24/7 match. No matter where we were, I could just ring the bell, ding, right. ding, ding, and all of a sudden a match turned out.
Right.
So it was pretty yep. funny hearing you talk about that.
Yeah, no, they have championship belts that they carry around, and last night was a and it's the whole bit. He comes up to me, he's like, We have a triple threat match proposed. Do you take the deal? I got to go back to Adam. I got to go back to the manager of Raw to like get the match agreed upon and all that stuff. Like he goes through the whole bit. So it's for the two championships. He rings the bell. He holds the titles in the air. He says, "This next match is for the Intercontinental Champion." Like it's the whole bit. He's very theatrical at the moment. So we're constantly. But yeah, last night was a triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship, and he just. Without, I didn't even see it coming while I'm messing around with my little guy's foot, trying to pull him closer to me, fully extended, and he just jumped right in the middle of my body, and I thought I broke a rib for a second.
That is hysterical. Yeah. I remember one time specifically, my son hit me with the skull-crushing finale.
Yeah.
And really banged my face off, and he got the pin. He certainly got the pin.
they have all the moves. I have... John Minko used to call me Hot Stuff. Speaking about Mink and St. John's, I gotta give Minko a call. Minko used to love to talk about my personal life, and there was a brief moment in time before my wife where I was juggling two ladies at the same time. For a brief moment in time. I wasn't doing it forever, but neither of the two girls were kind of like solid, but I was kind of juggling two women at once. Minko found it very interesting and used to call me Hot Stuff. So my wrestling name is Big Papa Hot Stuff. So I'm Big Papa Hot Stuff, and my finishing move is the noogies. So that's I take their heads and I rub my knuckles all over them. That's my finisher.
Yeah, some of the best memories of my life are powerbombing my kid around the house.
No doubt.
But I also give you a lot of credit for the five-hour rides. You do happen to be my favorite host, so
that's very kind of you.
God bless with the five-hour shift.
Yeah, we try. That's why I tell stories. That's why I tell stories about wrestling with the kids.
I love it. I love to break it up. Quick question: I was just wondering, do you personally have any expectations on Dominguez? Is it strictly a wait and see? Like, you have no idea what this guy is? Do you expect power, speed? Yeah. I mean, we know he has trouble fielding. I was just curious, your expectations, if you could say he plays 150 games, what is that line?
Oh, yeah, no. You got it, man. Thank you for the call. Yeah, no, absolutely. I have expectations. We all should have expectations. The Yankees have expectations. First and foremost, I expect him to be better in left field than dropping pop-ups. I do expect that, too. It's not like – that's not a hope. I honestly – it's just starting in spring training. There's no reason why he can't figure out left field. It's going to take some time. The ball comes off the bat a little bit different. And he's learning it. I fully expect him to be – I can't tell you he's going to be a gold glove left fielder necessarily, but I don't think he will be a absolute train wreck out there and a real detriment to the team. If he is, they'll switch him. So I'm not overly worried about his defense right now, but offensively, absolutely, I have expectations. Yeah. I mean, this is a kid with power, is a switch hitter, and speed. I expect him to be, you know, I'm looking for like exact numbers. I don't know. Like I expect him to hit 20 home runs or close, you know, he should be right around the 20 home run mark. If he plays 150 games, I expect him to hit around 20 to 25 home runs in today's game. I don't think that's crazy. And his power, certainly. I expect him to steal 20 or so bases because I think he's got that kind of speed. I mean, look, I'm looking for, if he's got an OPS around 700 and he, you know, hits somewhere close to 260, and he's got 20 home runs, and he doesn't kill you out in left field, I think that's a good season. That's a good rookie season. Those are my goals for him. You know, on base somewhere around 330, 340, OPS somewhere around 700. Not a liability in left field with 20 to 25 home runs and 20 or so stolen bases. Like if he gives them that, that's a real good quality rookie season. Now that's a low bar, relatively. I don't expect him to be a superstar year one. I do think he has that potential to be a real, you know, breakthrough rookie with an impact far greater than what I just said. But I expect him to be a serviceable, everyday Major League Baseball player. I expect him to be an average Major League Baseball player. And we are yet to see that out of Anthony Volpe. So when we talk about expectations, that has not been Anthony Volpe. That's what I'm looking for this year. Anthony Volpe, and I know OPS isn't the be-all, end-all, and he is a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. But like, this is the year offensively. He's got to steal more bases. He's got to hit for more home runs than he did this past year. Rookie season, he hit 20. But he's got to hit more home runs, and he's got to have an OPS over 700. Has to. He's got to be at an OPS plus over 100. He has got to be an above-average Major League Baseball player offensively. He just has to be. He was not a light-hitting, defensive-minded prospect. This was a top-five prospect in Major League Baseball when he won the job 2 years ago. Like, this is a guy with an offensive profile. This is a guy who's supposed to be a good offensive player. I'm not asking him to be, you know, an all-star, a great offensive player. No one's expecting to be Ronald Acuna or Aaron Judge or anything crazy. He still looks like he's 12 years old. But this is the year where I expect, you know, Anthony Volpe to really make a jump offensively. And he was that player in the postseason. I need postseason Anthony Volpe to be everyday Anthony Volpe. So there's a lot of pressure on him. I don't know how much pressure is on Dominguez, just other than just to keep his job in the major leagues and be good enough to continue to be the everyday left fielder for the New York Yankees. And right now, I don't know the Trent Grisham. Like, I don't know if there's real competition for that job right now. But that's my expectations. My expectations for him is to be an average everyday left fielder. I'll settle for that right now, and then we move forward with him. But I think he's got some pop. I think there's a chance he has a very good season. He's one of the more exciting prospects about this upcoming season for the New York Yankees, like looking and finding out what this kid is who's been, you know, the Martian and was signed at 15, 16 years old. And he's very much like Gary Sanchez in that way. We've heard about him for a long time. If you remember Gary Sanchez, he was signed young, and we heard about this catching prospect, Gary Sanchez, for forever. Like, very much the same. We've heard about Jason Dominguez for four or five years. And he came up 2 years ago and was amazing for a 9-10 game stretch. I mean, we all understand what it was and what it is, but he was. His first at-bat against Verlander was an opposite field home run. He played great in center field. He showed power. Like, he had, you know, every bit as good a run as, like, Acuna did it longer for the Mets, but it was, you know, that kind of real instant wow. And then last year it was not wow. So, but watching him develop and seeing what he could be is one of the real exciting things about this upcoming Yankee season. Which, let's get into the Yankees there. Let's transition into the story about Nolan Arenado. You know how I feel about Nolan Arenado. What he has left, what are his faults, and ultimately that he's a better option for the New York Yankees than anybody else they have at third. Like, his season last year, as down as it was for Nolan Arenado, is a far better year, and I've been saying this forever. Last year, if he repeats last year, which is 270, you know, 700 OPS, and plays an excellent defensive third base, that is so far and away better than anything I think they would even come close to getting from the three options they are currently rolling out there at third base as, you know, DJ LeMahieu and Oswaldo Cabrera and Oswald Peraza. None of those three guys are going to come anywhere close to the offensive season that Nolan Arenado gave you last season. And we know how good defensively he is. So I've been clamoring to make that trade for forever. And now that they've lost Giancarlo Stanton, and we still don't know what the personal issue with Giancarlo Stanton is, we still don't know why exactly he's away from the team, we still don't know if he's met with the doctors or what a diagnosis could possibly be. And for that reason, I got to think you have to operate as if Giancarlo Stanton's not a member of this team. And so I desperately think the Yankees need a bat. That's not to say they can't still be a good team or address it later, or I don't think this pitching in this lineup is still good enough to be the best team in the American League or certainly one of the best teams. I still do. But I'm trying to win a World Series. I'm trying to make them the best as they possibly can be, and they got two holes in the lineup. They need to add to it. And Nolan Arenado is someone who clearly is out there on the trading block, and today or earlier yesterday took a three-hour bus ride as a veteran to come visit the New York Yankees and hit cleanup against the New York Yankees. Now, you know, a lot of it was made on it. I woke up to that news that he made the three-hour bus ride and how unique that is, and veteran players don't typically make it. You know, some Yankees, you would never you know, Aaron Judge, for the most part, isn't going to go travel 3 hours to go play the Cardinals. Like, it doesn't happen to take a 3-hour bus ride. So obviously the discussion is, well, he's trying to showcase himself. He's trying this, he's trying that. And I thought the same thing that Nolan Arenado said after the game. This is like the third spring training game. Like, you think Nolan Arenado really wants to, like, come, like, this isn't the thing. And he was blown away by fastballs, and he looked bad. I'll be telling you, he looked bad. Will Warren, who's been the talk of camp, who, you know, makes Marcus Stroman even more a possibility to move and less likely to be needed, as Will Warren, who did not do much last year, but looks completely different. Now, again, it's spring training and it's two starts, but and he's had his good stuff, but like, his changeup looks dramatically better. His slider looks dramatically better. And his overall posture and body language looks completely different. Now, again, it's spring training and it's not a major league game, and he's pitching against a lot of players who won't make the team for the most part, especially on a home game against a traveling St. Louis team. But he blew Nolan Arenado away, and then I think Nolan Arenado swung through a 1-2 95-mile-an-hour fastball late in the game. But I don't think Nolan Arenado came here the third game of spring training saying, I'll show the Yankees why they need me. Forget the Hall of Fame career I've had my entire life and been one of the best baseball players in the world for, you know, a decade now. Forget that. I need to show the Yankees I can hit the third game of spring training. Like, I don't think that's what's... I don't think it was necessarily a showcase. This is what I think it was. And I have no reason to believe this other than, to me, it's common sense. And he tells you it's to go see his good buddy, Goldschmidt, and he talked up Goldschmidt, and he thinks Goldschmidt could have a good year. This was just to say, hey, I'm willing to come here. I want to come here. I want to be a Yankee. Like, that's how I viewed it. Hey, I'm not going to go there and feel like if I hit two doubles in the gap and a home run, they're going to be like, wow, I can't pass up on Nolan Arenado. It's more of just making the trip, making the effort, showing up at camp, talking to some Yankee players, talking to Paul Goldschmidt, being around the team, and having the news out there that a veteran player made a 3-hour bus ride. I don't think it's about playing or letting them take a look at him, because that's ridiculous. They know who Nolan Arenado is. They know who he is. And right now, it sounds like there's not a lot of enthusiasm with the New York Yankees to bring him on board. So that and the fact he made the trip makes people think, well, he wants to show them that he's better than they think. I don't think that's what it was. It was just this is a guy who wants to get traded off a losing team. The Cardinals are going nowhere. They're rebuilding. He doesn't want to stay. He lost his buddy to the Yankees. And he doesn't want to stick around with a losing Cardinals team for a guy who's been through a whole lot of losing in his career with Colorado Rockies, and he's hoping to chase a winner. So he was like, you know what? I'll get on the bus. I'll show them my intention. I'll show them my willingness to come here. I'll just make a story out of it. I'll get people talking about it, and I'll show up. And I think that's a good sign. And I think that's, you know, an indication that he wants to be a Yankee. That's how I took it. He wants to be a Yankee. Not that he wants to prove himself or anything other than just, hey, I'll show some good faith here. We're trying, you know, we all understand that my name is on the trading block. Yankees are a team that could use a third baseman. There's a lot of, you know, stories about me and the Yankees and making that trade. So I'll just go there and make a little bit of news out of it. Like, I think that was probably it. And maybe to see his buddy a little bit, but I think it was more of just to say, hey, Yankees, how are you? And talk to a couple guys. Like, I don't think it's much more than that, if it's even that. I think it's mostly a non-issue. But it doesn't change the fact that they should absolutely go trade for him. Like, I don't know what the options are. I've talked about Luis Arraez. I don't know if he's on the market anymore, but that's someone, especially without a DH, that I would go target, because I don't have to play him in the field. But ultimately, it feels like the Yankees aren't going to do anything. And that's disappointing. And I think Hal needs to be better. But that doesn't change the fact, like, because I've gotten a lot of pushback on Twitter. How can you say that the Yankees don't have a third baseman, the Yankees don't have a DH, and they don't have a prototypical leadoff hitter that you feel comfortable with, and still call them the best team in the American League? I don't know. Because their pitching is excellent. Like, I understand that they have lost in the postseason because of offense. And I understand that. I will freely tell you that I'd rather have the great position player than the great pitcher, and the guy who plays 162 is more valuable over the course of 162. But that doesn't change the fact that pitching is half the game. They have a top closer. They have a top rotation. They've done better with the bullpen than almost any team in the sport. Weaver's a great eighth-inning guy with the ability to pitch multiple innings. Hamilton's been good. They brought in a pitcher that led the league in strikeouts per nine last year, whose ERA is five, but I do believe, I know we talk so much about the lab that the Mets have, Matt Blake is one of the best pitching coaches in baseball, bar none. And sinker, slider, splitter-type pitchers are very successful, and I think that's a guy, Cruz, that they're targeting to really make into a top reliever. Like, I think their pitching is excellent, and I still believe that they have the best hitter in the world who doesn't need all this protection. Who's going to protect Judge? Who's going to protect Judge? He's going to be walked 100 million times. All right, yes, that he had Juan Soto in front of him last year. Who was hitting cleanup exactly? And he walked a ton, and he also had the best season a right-handed hitter's ever had. Who was his protection in 22 when he hit 62 home runs? Giancarlo Stanton for half the year? Like, the idea that Aaron Judge won't be successful this year, it's the same dopes who tell you the same thing that, you know, Nolan, that Juan Soto doesn't have enough protections to be good. Great players are going to be great. Judge is going to have a monster year because that's what Judge does. Will he walk more? Maybe. Will he drive in less runs without Juan Soto hitting in front of him? Yeah, probably. Is he going to be an absolute threat and a beast? You bet your ass he is. So they have the best hitter in the world. I still think Bellinger's going to give you a good year, full year of Jazz, a full year of Wells, who didn't want to play until March in these spring training games, but insisted being in there to catch Will Warren, who he said is going to be an important part of this team. And he gives you his first two swings, he hits the ball over 325 feet to the left center field gap, and one bounces off the wall. So I think Wells has got a chance to be good, and he's found something that he could have a full year of being one of the better offensive catchers in the sport. You got Jazz for a full year. Hopefully you've got Volpe and Dominguez making impacts. Bellinger's a good player. I think you're going to get a bounce back year from Goldschmidt. Does all that lead up to being as good as last year's offense with Judge and Soto? No, it doesn't. But the pitching staff is far better. The bullpen's far better. And the lineup is still going to be, when you look around the American League, tell me how many lineups are better. So, yes, they have some holes. Yes, I think the owner should absolutely go out there and fill them. Get a third baseman. Pay a little bit of money. You're over the luxury tax already. You're not getting underneath it. Go pay. Go bring another batter in here. You need it. Not to be the best team in the American League necessarily. Maybe, though. But not because I think they can't win without a bat, but because this is about being, without doubt, the best team in the American League. And this is about getting back to the World Series. And this is about winning a World Series. And this is about a flawed trade deadline since the new playoff format. So both can be true. I think the Yankees should go out and get a bat. I also think the Yankees, top to bottom, are the best team in the American League and should still win their division. I don't know why everybody has a tough time understanding that. But go get a bat. And the owner makes enough money, despite the fact that he's got the bill for the lease of the building, and he's in the process of buying back part of the Yes Network, and, you know, he's got siblings to split up the money. I get all that. I get that he's not making the money the Dodgers are making. That shouldn't be the difference between $10 to $12 million for a third baseman. When you're already over the luxury tax and all of the penalties as far as draft picks and compensation and you know, the ability to you know, have spending money in foreign markets. What's the name of the stupid money? Like, there's a bunch of ramifications. Multiple picks, free agents leave, you get hit with more picks if you give them the qualifying offer. Like, there's all those ramifications of being over the last luxury tax. You're already there paying all those ramifications. Are you telling me the difference of $20 million on this payroll is why you can't get a third baseman? So, yeah, I'm going to get on the owner. And I think they should make an impact move. Doesn't change the fact that I still think they're pretty damn good. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Stu real quick. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, hey, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
All right. Well, I agree with everything you said because you don't know what. He's already there. Why can't he just buckle up and get the job done? What, is he afraid of going over a little bit?
I think they're one bat short from being a complete team. Whether the incomplete team is good enough, whether or not the incomplete team is good enough to still win doesn't change the fact that they're incomplete. And so what's another $20 million to go be complete when you're already over the luxury tax anyway? So I don't,
And third base would be perfect. If you got Aaron Arnold, he might not be the play he once was, but he's still better than what you have there currently right now.
There's
he's
no
better
doubt.
Than Jazz at third.
Yes.
Jazz is better at second. LeMahieu can be a utility infielder, and Cabrera, he can play the outfield and the infield. Mm-hmm. So what's the holdup? Why is he being so stubborn? Is it because he doesn't want to go further?
No, well, listen, the Nolan Arenado trade right now, the money is being the holdup, because I agree. I mean, go get it done, try and figure out the money. His contract's too big. Right now, they're probably quibbling over how much money he's worth and how much money St. Louis is willing to eat. Because I would have to agree there's a limit where it makes sense. Like, he is not an $18, $19 million, $20 million a year player. He's just not. I understand the Yankees not wanting to pay him $20 million, double that up to $40 million. Like, Nolan Arenado is not worth that anymore. I think we all understand that. And St. Louis needs to understand that if they're going to move him. So there's got to be some give and take, whether they take on the Stroman money or whether they eat a significant amount of money of Nolan Arenado's contract to move him. One or the other is going to have to happen, because the Yankees can't take him on as presently constituted with his contract. So there's got to be a line of demarcation that Brian Cashman's looking at. And to me, the second that St. Louis meets that line, I'm pulling the trigger. And I don't know what that line is for the New York Yankees, but I'd be willing, especially now that Stanton went down, I'd move that line a little further. I'd be willing to pay a little bit more. If it's $15 million a year, but I wanted him at 12, all right. I got to live with it. I just lost my cleanup hitter. For God knows how long. We don't even know where he is. He's not with the team. It's personal reasons, plus he's got elbow issues. I have no idea what's going on with Stanton. None. And that's too much. No third baseman, no Stanton, when you've already taken a step back offensively-wise. Like, it's just too much. It's not too much to still be a good team, but it's too much to feel like you're complete and you're ready to be the New York Yankees. Which, you know, I've seen a lot on different things about with this beard policy, and it really drives me nuts. Maybe I'll get into it tomorrow. I only got an hour left, and we still got things to touch on. But the idea that the Yankees aren't the big, bad Yankees anymore, and, you know, the idea that spending this little bit of money for a third baseman proves it, or losing Juan Soto proves it, or not requiring their players to shave proves it. It's all absolute nonsense. It's all absolute. The Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore. Explain to me when they were. Please. Other than a 5-year period when they won 4 championships, explain to me when the Yankees were the big, bad Yankees. Like, it hasn't been since 1963. We'll get into this more tomorrow.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.